This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton, local author and historian, joins me in studio on Fridays to kick back and talk local history. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you doing? I love that music. When I was a kid, I watched The Little Rascals a lot. And my favorite episode is the one with the He-Man Women Haters Club. Yeah. You remember that?
Of course.
And Alfalfa had fallen in love, and so they threw him out. You know, they threatened to throw him out of the club. And there's a great scene where he says, "I'm sorry, Spanky. I have to live my own life."
Here's some trivia for you. A clip from that very episode of Little Rascals of the He-Man Woman Haters Club was used on one of the best-selling rock albums of all time. Name the group and name the album.
Aerosmith?
Very close. REO Speedwagon.
Oh, okay.
A little earlier, the 80s, 1980.
I remember hearing it. I mean,
and the album was High Infidelity. And they started one of their songs by playing that clip.
Where he says that, where Alfalfa's saying that? Yeah. That's just hilarious.
I think the song was Tough Guys, if I'm not mistaken. I could be. I'm sure somebody out there knows better than I.
I'm sorry, Spanky.
Hey, Rick, we had a big birthday celebration recently, and I happened to be out of town for a Sorensen gig, but I was not here to celebrate it. It was 2 weeks ago today,
It was 2 weeks ago today on April 13th, and, you know, we were going to talk. You were away in Richmond, so there was a best of show that day, but I came up with a couple of questions, and maybe some of the listeners out there can call in and answer a couple of quiz questions related to Thomas Jefferson and his birthday. Everybody knows that he was born in April of 1743 in Shadwell, which is just a few miles east of Monticello, east of the Southwest Mountains. You know, what county was Shadwell in 1743 when he was born there? So that's one question. What county was Shadwell in? And then the next question was, you know, he was born in April of 1743. The calendar at the time, what was the date on it when Jefferson was born and why?
And what was the date of Jefferson's birthday?
Yeah, we celebrated. What day was it?
We celebrate it now on April 13th.
We celebrate it on the 13th.
But was that it April 13th in 1743?
No, that wasn't the date on the calendar in 1743. You know, if he had a calendar hanging in the kitchen, what was the actual date on that calendar, the day baby Thomas Jefferson was born?
There's two little pieces of trivia for you, dear listener.
Yeah.
If you know the answer to either one, we got a ton of I actually have a ton of prizes to give
cool.
away today.
Oh, that's great.
And I am in a Santa Claus mood, so let's get the phone calls in. And so the first question is, what county was Thomas Jefferson born in?
What county was he actually born in? Shadwell was in what county in 1743?
Right. And what was the date on the calendar on the wall when Thomas Jefferson was born? And here's a hint. It wasn't April 13th.
No, it wasn't.
That's when we celebrate it today.
Right.
But I'm sure you can explain why
that
is.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. Let's see if anybody knows that.
Yeah, the phone number is 977-1070, 977-1070. If you would like to take a crack at one of these quizzes here, let's go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Brandy.
Hey, Brandy, how you doing? Happy Friday.
Thank you.
Which question would you like?
The county that Thomas Jefferson was born in?
He was, of course, born at Shadwell.
Right.
What was the county, Brandy?
I believe it's in Augusta County.
No, actually, sorry, it was not Augusta County.
Sorry about that.
Nice try, though.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandy. Have a good weekend. Let's go to the next phone. Caller, what's your first name?
This is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Just fine, thanks.
Do you know what county Thomas Jefferson was born in?
I think maybe Orange County.
No. Nice try. It wasn't Orange County.
The other one, though.
That's a close one, though. Take a crack at the other one. What was the date?
I think that England hadn't switched over to the either from or to the Gregorian calendar yet.
That's right. So what was the date on the calendar?
It was off by, but I think maybe it was maybe April 27th or something.
No, you have to go the other way.
Oh, the other way. Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, I'll let somebody else get it.
Nice try.
Good try, Mike.
I thought at one point Orange County went all the way wherever, you know, they found land.
Orange County did go farther west, but Shadwell was
the largest county, I think, in the United States.
It was, but in 1743, Shadwell was not in Orange County. Right. Right.
Thanks.
There you go. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for playing a little game. We're talking with Rick Britton, local historian and author. Let's go back to the phones here. Caller, what's your first name? Hello? Let's try Chris.
Hello?
Is that you, Chris?
Yes.
Hey, Chris. Happy
Chris.
Friday.
Hi.
So which question do you want?
I believe I know the date.
Okay,
oh,
what was
right.
the date?
I think it was the 4th.
No, it wasn't the 4th.
Oh, shoot.
Nice try, but you're real close.
Oh, okay.
Real
thanks.
Close.
Thanks, Chris, for playing. Let's go to Joe on line 2. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Fine.
Which question you want?
The date.
Okay.
What was the date that Thomas Jefferson was born?
I believe it was April 2nd.
It was. Absolutely right. Good job.
Way to go. Way to go. Way to go.
And do you know why? One of the other callers alluded
yeah, Mike got it.
To the reason. Yeah, Mike got it. England and all of the territories of England didn't switch to the Gregorian calendar until 1752, 9 years after Jefferson's birth. So they were still operating under the old Julian calendar. And when they switched in 1752, 11 days were added to every date. So he was born on April 2nd, which everybody knows if they visited his tombstone up there on Monticello Mountain. It says April 2nd OS. That stands for Old System or the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar was actually done away with by Pope Gregory in the Christian world in 1582. It just took the Protestant world a few centuries to catch up with the Christian world.
So Thomas Jefferson was actually born not on April 13th, which is when we celebrate it today under the new calendar, but actually born on April
2nd.
2nd.
The date on the calendar was April 2nd. Okay.
Way to go, Joe. Joe, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, hold on just
thanks,
a minute.
Thanks, Joe.
And Matt, Joe is on line 2. If you could give him, let's give him some, well, hold on just a minute. Hey, Joe?
Yes.
Do you want pizza or a Gold's Gym Pass?
Oh, man.
Pizza, I guess, would be better.
You want Papa John's or Domino's?
Yes.
You Papa John's or Domino's?
Gosh, that's tough.
That is
Domino's.
Tough.
Domino's, you got it. Hold on just a minute. Matt, let's give Joe some Domino's pizza, and we'll go really quick. Let's go to Kathy. You know the county?
Is it Fluvanna?
No, it's not Fluvanna. Fluvanna created till much later. Thanks for calling.
Sorry, Kathy. So we still need to know if somebody has any idea. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you know the county that Thomas Jefferson was born in, we've got a bunch of prizes, and we'll give you some. Give us a call, 977-1070. Let's rejoin Rick Britton in studio and get back to the phones. We are trying to find out where Thomas Jefferson was born. It's amazing that...
Yeah, what county Shadwell was in 1743.
Let's go to the phones. Lucy, how are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you calling?
I'm great. Lucy, you have one of my favorite voices in the entire world.
Now, is that right? I think it sounds horrible. I'm almost ashamed to call in.
Oh, no.
No, I want you to call every day. Absolutely.
And I picked up the hook today, and there's an article on you, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
I
will.
Thank you very much. There is an article about our program in this week's edition of The Hook, if folks want to pick that up, and our just mainly about the community discussion that we had last week regarding the tech tragedy. Lucy, do you know where Shadwell was, what county that was in, when Thomas Jefferson was born?
Well, I think I do, but, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I do. So I'm going to give it a try anyway.
All righty. You go right ahead.
I think it was Goochland County because...
That's absolutely right.
Albemarle was originally, you know, part of Goochland County.
That's absolutely right.
Well, I thought...
Good job.
Way to go, Lucy.
If my memory served me correctly, I thought I remembered that. But nothing caught it. You know, I was on hold for a long time.
Yes.
And I don't have but one telephone. If I'd have had another phone, I would have called my sister because she is an authority on Thomas Jefferson. But I don't have but one phone.
Well, you know what? It sounds like you're a bit of an authority yourself.
Yeah. So
Well, no. You don't have to be an authority to know that.
Hey, Lucy.
One lady said he was born on... Well, she was talking about April, though. She said the 4th. He died on July the 4th.
That's
right.
True.
That's right.
In 1826. Yep.
The 50th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence.
And just a few hours before John Adams passed away
at his
home in Quincy, Massachusetts.
And on the same day.
Right.
Hey, Lucy, how about you want to lunch for two to Mickey Tavern? You take your sister out to lunch?
Okay.
All
that
right.
Sounds great.
There you go. All right. Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
And we always appreciate you calling and certainly appreciate you listening. Matt, Lucy is on line 1. If you could give her lunch for two to Mickey Tavern, that would be great. Rick Britton in studio. So that's pretty good there. Thomas Jefferson was born, actually born on April 2nd.
April the 2nd.
In 1743, and even though we celebrate it today on April 13th.
Right, because 11 days were added in 52 when he was 9 years old. But she brought up another great little factoid about him, that he died on July 4th, 1826. And you mentioned that Adams, of course, the second president of the United States, died that same afternoon. Just a few hours apart.
Isn't that weird?
But
isn't that
what's
weird?
Amazing,
it's like X-Files.
And both of them were going to be, you know, greatly involved with the celebrations all across the country. So that week, you know, instead of them being involved in the celebrations on the 50th anniversary, instead the newspapers were draped in black. But what amazes me even more is that 5 years later, in 1831, James Monroe, fifth president of the United States, also died on the 4th of July.
I never knew that. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow.
Three of our first five presidents and all founders, so to speak, died on the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. Three out of the first five. And people were convinced that was proof that God was involved.
That's sort of creepy, though. It's sort of like X-Files.
It is pretty creepy. It's pretty amazing.
That is weird.
Yeah, we should have saved that, though, for a future quiz question.
Yeah, who else or what other president
died? That's right. What other president died on the 4th?
Rick Britton in the studio. And I like this quiz thing. Listen, when you join us on Friday, we'll do a quiz every week.
We'll do it.
Because I usually do one at the end of the show on Fridays, but we'll also do one here at the top of the show about history.
Yeah, sounds great.
Cool.
Sounds great. Well, listen, I wanted to plug one of the many hats that I wear, and that is of host and tour guide. Down at the Senior Center, and they're absolutely great folks at the Senior Center. I keep after Peter Thompson to change the name. It really should be the Senior Activity Center, because it's not a place where people live. It's where people go to get involved in things. And for the third year in a row, I've organized and hosted a history set of tours and lectures. And this year, the series is called Historic Homes of Virginia. And we already had our first day trip. We went down to Agecroft Hall, which amazingly is actually a medieval home built in Lancaster, England, that was taken apart and brought to the United States.
You're kidding.
And reassembled, in Windsor Farms, in that really, well-heeled section of West Richmond in the 1920s. But so we actually toured this medieval home in West Richmond. That's amazing. But the next one we have coming up in a little while, it's on Wednesday, May 23rd, and we still have a few seats available on the bus. We're going to Stratford Hall on the Potomac River in Westmoreland County, Virginia. And, of course, Stratford Hall was the birthplace of Robert E. Lee. If people want some more information, they can call the travel office at the Senior Center at 974-6538. There's lots of information about the whole series at seniorcenterinc.org.
974-6538,
that's
number
right
over there at the Senior Center. And these tours go on all summer?
Yep, there's one every month. That one is in May, May 23rd. In June, we're going down to Shirley Plantation on the James River below Richmond, one of the finest plantations in the state of Virginia.
What plantation is that?
Shirley.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
Actually, I am.
Stop. Don't call me Shirley.
I love that one. Then we're going to the White House of the Confederacy in July, Oatlands Plantation on September 27th. That's up in Loudoun County, just outside of Leesburg. Kenmore in Fredericksburg. Kenmore was actually built by George Washington's brother-in-law. So it was the home of Washington's sister and his brother-in-law, and that's in downtown Fredericksburg. Absolutely gorgeous. And we're going to one other. Let's see. One, two, three, four. No, that's it. That's the last one.
So
just about every month through October.
Cool. And you can get more information for that those tours led by Rick Britton at the Senior Center, 974-6538. A quick break. We'll be right back. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
The phones haven't stopped ringing. Every caller with the same request. Would we please, please extend our...
New this year, a sibling race. And all the proceeds benefit a Central Virginia institution, the Virginia Discovery Museum. For more information, visit WINA.com.
To flag our United States of America, to republic, which stands one nation under the God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Sign yourself and
pray
yourself.
It's 10 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. My name is Coy Barefoot, and you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Happy Friday, one and all. Hope you've had a great weekend, even a better weekend ahead of you. If you enjoy the song stylings of my son, I would like to report that he has learned the national anthem, and he sings it over and over and over again. So I'm taking the digital recorder home this weekend to record him holding forth on the national anthem. So hopefully we'll have that for you too on Monday.
Well, you know, if you get tired of hearing it over and over again, there is one solution. Teach him something
teach
him a new song.
Rick Britton, local author and historian, joins us in studio. We were talking earlier today about a gentleman named Edward Coles.
We were. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked quite a bit about slavery. And it's such a, you know, it's such a horrible thing here in Virginia, this peculiar institution, as it was called by Kenneth Stamp, one of the greatest historians of the institution of slavery. But it's great to learn about some of the folks who, from the same period that Thomas Jefferson lived in, opposed the institution of slavery and opposed the people in their family and all their friends and relatives in the local area. One of those folks was Edward Coles. He'd been born in Albemarle County in Enniscorthy.
Where is that exactly?
It's in the Green Mountain area of northwestern Albemarle County. He was born up there in 1786. He was the seventh son of John Coles II, a man who had served as a colonel in the American Army during the Revolution. And some of the neighbors, the Coles family was well-to-do, well-educated, well-to-do. Some of their friends and some of the people who visited Enniscorthy while Edward Coles was growing up included Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, Patrick Henry. He attended Hampton Sydney and then the College of William and Mary. And an interesting little footnote about that is that some of his classmates at William and Mary included Winfield Scott, who later on became General in Chief of the American Army, was hero of the War of 1812, the Mexican War, and also John Tyler, 10th President of the United States. So he had some pretty prominent classmates down there in Williamsburg. But it was in Williamsburg that he first realized that he was opposed, strongly opposed, for moral reasons, with the institution of slavery. Here's a little quote. He ended up writing a great autobiography. I could not reconcile it to my conscience to participate in slavery, and being unable to screen myself under such a shelter from the peltings and upbraidings of my own conscience and the just censure as I conceived of heaven and earth, I could not consent to hold as property what I had no right to. In other words, he felt that people had no right to own as property their fellow man.
I think I think this is really good to talk about, Rick, because I think a lot of people who have a cursory appreciation of that period of history sort of assume that there were slaves and there were slave owners. And if you were a black in Virginia, you were a slave. That's not true. There were number one, there were a lot of free blacks at the time. Number two, there, you know, from that period where Thomas Jefferson retired from the presidency 1809 until he died in 1826, there were thousands upon thousands of slaves who were being freed, even in Virginia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the reason this guy, to me, is a tremendous hero. You know, one of the reasons, of course, he was born right here in Albemarle County, and I've, you know, studied him, researched him, and written about him. It wasn't always easy to manumit, to free your slaves back then.
Is that what it was called, manumit?
Uh-huh. Manumission was the act of freeing, and one of the reasons was the General Assembly of Virginia, the legislature, made it difficult by passing laws. There's a whole number of them I have here listed. The most horrendous, of course, is the one passed in January of 1806, and they gave a freed black in Virginia 1 year to remain in the state. If that person stayed here after a year, they were liable to be apprehended and sold back into slavery. The proceeds from that slave sale would go to the poor white people in that county. So in other words, what they're saying to freed blacks in Virginia, but people can argue how often this was actually prosecuted, this law. But what they were saying was, we don't want you here. We want you out of Virginia. The reason, of course, is they don't want any of them to stay here and actually succeed as free black people, because that would be, you know, a perfect example to the slaves.
Right,
well,
right.
If those people can do it, anybody can do it.
It also, that law gave a lot of impetus to poor whites to go out and round up anybody they thought who might be black person who was in Virginia possibly over a year.
Exactly. But anyway, Coles grew up and he was well educated, as I mentioned earlier. Became private secretary of James Madison for a while. He served as Jefferson's secretary. And he wrote, here's another example of what he wrote. The descendants of Africa were competent to take care of and govern themselves and enjoy all the blessings of liberty and all the other birthrights of man. In this, he was exactly 180 degrees away from Jefferson's thought, as Jefferson put down in Notes on the State of Virginia that you and I had talked about earlier. He actually established a correspondence with Jefferson. Now, of course, remember, he's from a much different generation, a much younger generation from Jefferson, asking Jefferson to put some words on paper to publish something supporting an idea that he had. And the idea was not to recolonize them to Africa, as Jefferson and a lot of other people believed in at the time. You know, we mentioned this, that blacks and whites could not live together in the same society, that so many of the slave owners felt that way.
And Jefferson was one of them.
These
people shall not live under the same government.
That's right. But to support instead a plan that Edward Coles came up with to free blacks and get them out into the Northwest Territories, to settle them out there into the new states of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, to establish them out there as free people. Jefferson wrote him back saying that he had overlived the generation with which mutual labors and perils begat mutual confidence and influence. He said this was something for the younger generation. Nevertheless, in 1819, Coles took 20 of his slaves out there, freed them, gave each head of household 168 acres, and settled them in western Illinois. Just a few years later, he went on to become governor of the new state of Illinois based on his anti-slavery stance. Edward Coles from right here in Albemarle County.
What a
it's
story.
A fantastic story.
Wow.
It absolutely is.
And has anybody written his biography? What an amazing guy.
A lady that I met a few years ago is working on a book about Edward Coles, but it'll certainly make a great book. And there was an amazing moment. He when he took them out, they were traveling down the Ohio on keel boats, on these flat boats. He didn't tell them until he got them out on the keel boats that his intention was to free them. So what an amazing moment
wow.
that would be.
Rick Britton, local author and historian, online at rickbritton.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
We'll see you next Friday.
Absolutely.
A break here for CBS News at the top of the hour. We're back with Wendy Fournier, the president of the National Autism Association. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.